Now, there's a reason for that, that the very atmosphere early in the morning is conducive for spiritual activities. Early in the morning, just before dawn, the mode of goodness is most prominent. So, of course, those who are grihasthas living at home, they may have various responsibilities, they may be working late, whatever. But it is there may be some adjustment, but basically we should all try to make this good habit of rising early. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, powerful acharya, has given his benediction that anyone who regularly rises early and chants these Gurvashtaka prayers, that means the prayers beginning samsara dharma, they will certainly at the end of life go to, they will get direct service to Vrindavana, Krishna in Vrindavana. So sadhana begins with rising early. The basic activities of sadhana are chanting and hearing. There are many other aspects also as described in the Metta of Devotion. Offering obeisances, circumambulating the temple. That may not always be possible in Russia. In India in general, the temples are constructed in such a way that this, you can easily circumambulate the deities in the path, looking path around the deities. Sometimes, I remember in London, in our old temple, we used to do looking at the deities around the city streets. It was about half a kilometer all the way around. So we could do around three times a day, a long walk in the city. So the most important activities are hearing and chanting. Of course, this also includes reading Srila Prabhupada's books. Reading is an extension of the hearing process, and especially we should try to read Prabhupada's books. There are many books produced now in various languages, but Prabhupada said, my books will be the law books for the next 10,000 years. That means that Krishna consciousness as presented in Prabhupada's books, that should be the standard for understanding. Of course, simply reading is insufficient. We actually have to study these books. The word in Sanskrit is swadhyaya, which means not reading, but study. This is recommended in Bhagavad Gita. Swadhyaya, we have to study the Shastra. That means to go very deeply into the subject matter and try to understand it. Many times Prabhupada used to ask his disciples, are you studying my books? And then often the disciples would reply, yes, Prabhupada, we regularly read your books. So then Prabhupada would say, but are you studying? So it's very good news that now the Bhakti Shastri course has been organized by the Vaishnava University in Moscow, by which all devotees can very deeply study Bhagavad Gita by a correspondence course. This is very convenient for grihasthas living at home, and also for devotees living in the temple who have various services to perform. Side by side, they can spend some time every day going very deeply into and understanding minutely the teachings of Bhagavad Gita. So I very much recommend that you all take up this Bhakti Shastri course. Sucharu Prabhu is very kindly organizing this, making this available to everybody. So I've invited Sucharu Prabhu, who's here now, to speak a few minutes about this course and how you can participate in it. So I'm just asking to speak about that. And then after the class, we can leave this and we'll distribute. Jai. One other thing I'm going to say is that they don't have to wait until first initiation to start. Right, Sucharu Prabhu? Sucharu Prabhu? You don't have to wait until first initiation. You can start even before initiation. So please do so. Srila Prabhupada put so much effort into writing these books, and we should put at least as much effort into studying them. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about kirtan. Sankirtan pravartak Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Kirtan pravartak bhajye Sri Dhamma. Chaitanya Charitamrita said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the inaugurator of the Sankirtan movement. The only one who worships him through the process of Sankirtan is fortunate indeed. So every devotee should engage in kirtan. That seems like a straightforward fact that doesn't need to be said. But of course, many devotees, they're living at home with their families, and It may be more difficult to get a kirtan going when you're living at home. But even if you just chant by yourself or just with two or three family members, every day everyone should engage in kirtan. And in the in places where there are temples or Namhata centers, all the devotees who are living at home, they should come at least once a week, and at least for the sake of engaging in kirtan with all the devotees. Now, to get most benefit out of engaging in kirtan, we should focus our attention on the holy names. Devotees often ask about how to be attentive while chanting japa, but we should also be attentive while engaging in kirtan. Concentrate on hearing the holy names in a prayerful mood, praying to Krishna, O Krishna, O energy of Krishna, please engage me in your service. This is, of course, the translation of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Of course, there are many songs and chants that can be chanted in kirtan, but we should always remember that the Maha Mantra, the most important of all mantras, is the Hare Krishna Mantra. Sometimes in kirtan, devotees, they go on chanting and chanting and chanting so many different things, but they don't chant Hare Krishna. And in fact, many different kinds of chants have been introduced, which you'll never hear Srila Prabhupada singing them. Srila Prabhupada emphasized very much on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So chanting, and naturally along with chanting comes dancing. So chanting and dancing is the solution to all problems. This material world is full of problems. But if we chant and dance, then the problems become minimized, and we prepare ourselves to enter the land of Vaikuntha, means the place where there's no anxiety, no problems. So try to dance or sing. Mostly the Russian devotees are quite enthusiastic about dancing, that's what it means. But we should also remember that dancing, it's also a service to Krishna. So although it's certainly pleasurable for ourselves, the real pleasure comes from dancing in a mood of service to Krishna. So we should dance in a way that's pleasing to Krishna. Sometimes Prabhupada saw the devotees dancing in various unusual styles, and he would show them that you try to dance as I have showed you, as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing, with arms raised and gracefully in supplication to the Supreme Lord. It means an attitude of submission and prayer. Now, one very important point is that when we're dancing in the presence of the deities, that we're dancing for the pleasure of the deities. And one very important rule that Prabhupada was very strict about is that we should not show our back to the deities. It's very disrespectful, actually. Sometimes we see that all the devotees, they're focused on who's leading the kirtan, and they completely forget about the deities who the kirtan is supposed to be for. So we should be... Sometimes we see that even for like 5 minutes, 10 minutes at a time, devotees are standing with their backs directly to the deity, chanting Hare Krishna. He says, please engage me in your service. But what kind of service is that? So Krishna Bhajan just means to be conscious of Krishna. And Krishna is very kindly come in the form of the deities. So when we are in the presence of the deities, we should be conscious of their presence and act in a way that is pleasing to them. So that's an important point. Okay, we had some questions. Actually, this point, kirtan, dancing, when my Vaishnava Behavior book comes out, there's big, long essays on all these things. I'm just giving just a few points. The essay on kirtan, that alone will take up 40 pages. And then the essay on dancing, that's another essay. You know, one thing is that many different kinds of chants have been introduced into our movement, which are, actually they're not in Shastra and they're not given by any Acharya, they're just kind of picked up here and there. So that will be discussed in some detail in that book. But anyway, the main point is that we should concentrate on the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. There are other authorized chants also, but we should concentrate on the Maha Mantra. Okay, so yesterday there were quite a few questions pending, so we can start to take them on. Do you have them here? And if there are any, more.
What should we do if our husbands are karmis and they also share the Mayavadi philosophy and they never fulfill their family obligations?
Suffering womanhood. There are many great saintly women all over the world, unknown saints, who go on pulling their pulling their families on or doing their family duties despite all difficulties. Actually, I first saw Prabhupada's books when they were shown to me by my best friend at school. So he was the first child of his parents and the only son. And I think he had about 12 sisters, something like that, all after him. First sister, she had her first child when she was 14. And his father, he was a nice enough guy, but he happened to be an alcoholic. And he earned money every day. He was a day laborer, and whatever he earned in the day, he drank at night. Somehow or other, his wife was pulling on the family, keeping it going. No complaints. Of course, she wasn't chanting Hare Krishna, but she is now, I don't know. Actually, that friend of mine, he said he'd like to join and be a full-time devotee, but he thinks he should look after his family. So there are many such cases. You just have to do the best you can under the circumstances. You can't change the circumstances. You possibly could by divorcing your husband, but that's not a very positive change anyway. It's not a very desirable change. That they become Did everyone hear that? So Prabhupada commenting on this in the Nectar Devotion said this should be the determination of a devotee, that despite all difficulties they just accept that suffering, that it's some go on chanting Hare. If your husband's got some strange philosophical ideas and doesn't want to listen, maybe better not to discuss it and just give him some time. If you behave very, despite his failings, if you behave very sweetly with him, you'll be surprised, because people don't usually respond in such a way. And he may gradually also become conscious. Yesterday I gave the example of Srila Prabhupada's sister, who was married to a gross materialist, but she didn't complain, she went on doing her family duties and serving her husband anyway. And towards the end of his life, he realized what a saintly wife he had, and he repented and changed. Now what I'm saying goes against modern ideas that you should rebel and change and stand up for yourself, stand up for your rights. But there's no end to this. There's no end to this. You'll never find a fully fair or ideal situation to your home. So as Prabhupada, he used to quote that English saying, you have to make the best use of a bad bargain. That goes for all of us. None of us are in an ideal situation. Now, even if we have like the best association, best husband, plenty of money, everything ideal, we've still got our stupid minds. So what are you going to do? Have a brain transplant? You have to beat your mind and chant Hare Krishna. Once one young woman was saying to Prabhupada, what about my mind? And whatever Prabhupada said, you chant Hare Krishna. She said, I said, yes, just chant Hare Krishna. She couldn't understand. And this is the natural solution. Your husband's a Mayavadi, or whatever it may be. But anyway, chant Hare Krishna. Life is too short to try to sort out all the material problems, and even if you do, there's no end to the material problems. Whatever situation you're in, chant Hare Krishna. Of course, I mean, some measure of planning and adjustment can be there. But once you're married, it's a very serious thing. And if your husband isn't as wonderful as you might have hoped he would be, well, what to do? Then you have to live with it. Chant Hare Krishna.
What should a husband do if his wife is not humble, if she is kshatriya?
Now the other side of the story. Maybe this is the husband of the same person who asked the other question. This is the men's liberation movement. Sometimes we hear of husbands beating wives, but there are also cases of wives beating husbands. Well, once Prabhupada said that, well, if your wife's not submissive to you, you can't control her, you could try being submissive to her. Neither the men are properly, in general, neither men are properly responsible, nor the women are submissive. Well, Prabhupada's wife wasn't very submissive. Yeah, his wife wasn't very submissive to him. So he used to spend a lot of time out of the home, and he would organize kitchen programs outside of the home. Actually, even when Prabhupada was first married, he thought, I don't like my wife very much, I think I'll arrange to marry another wife. Because in the Hindu system that's allowed, you can have more than one wife. Nobody was going to divorce the first one. But his father advised him, it's good if you don't like your wife, then later on that will help you to become more renounced. So there's an advantage in everything. There's some advantage in every situation. So if you don't like your wife, well, you have to, do the best you can in the situation, perform your family duties, and then when you come to the right age, you can take sannyas. I mean, a lot of in family life, a lot of the thing is tolerating the other. And then the two partners, they have to tolerate each other's faults. In the traditional Hindu marriages, the parents arrange it, and they're very careful to match for compatibility. Most marriages in the West just happen out of mutual attraction without proper consideration of compatibility. So anyway, once you get in that position, it's a commitment, and you should stick to it and perform your duties the best you can, even if the circumstances are not very conducive.
What should I do if a husband is not in Krishna consciousness and he makes me violate the fourth principle?
Well, the same thing, you have to gradually try and bring him along by sweet behavior. Try and make him Krishna conscious gradually. Like I was saying about Prabhupada's sister, she had to cook the fish every day for her husband. After many years, his heart changed.
You mentioned that if a husband and wife are not in Krishna consciousness, that service to them is useless. But at the same time, you give this example of Prabhupada's sister who served her husband who wasn't a devotee. Please explain this similar contradiction. I don't have enough intelligence to understand this.
It's an unavoidable social duty. Everyone in this world, except sannyasis, they have social duty. And even sannyasis, to some extent, they also have social duties. So there are many great devotees who are householders. Let's see, there are 12 Mahajan. So the first one is Swayambhu, Brahma, householder. Swayambhu, Narada is a Brahmachan. Shambhu is a householder. Then Kumara, Brahmachan. Kapila, Brahmachan. Manu is Grihasa. Pralada and Janak. Pralada and Janak, they're both householders. Bhishma is a Brahmachan. Bali is a householder. Vyasaki, Shukadeva Goswami, is a Brahmachan. Yamaraj is a householder. So out of the 12 Mahajans, 7 are householders and 5 are Brahmachan. And in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna specifically cites Janak Maharaj as a person who achieved perfection while performing his prescribed duties. Because the whole discussion of Bhagavad Gita is that Arjuna wanted to give up his material duties and just, be a saint. But Krishna told him, no, you perform your duties and be a saint in that way. That you remember me, even in a circumstance you don't want to do at all, but it's your duty to fight with your family members. He didn't want to do it, but Krishna told him to do it, but you offer the results to him, Krishna. So he had to perform some duties he didn't want to do, and even they could have been considered, he was giving arguments that these are actually very simple activities, they would normally be considered very simple. But Krishna explained that as long as you're in this world, you're bound by the duties that go with the position that you have attained according to your karma. So if you can't avoid certain activities due to your social position, then you may have to go on with it. And of course, if you're going to adjust in future, that's very good. But if you're not in a position to, then you have to go on and at the same time cultivate Krishna consciousness. That if you find yourself in a position where you have to do something that is unavoidable, then what to do? You have to cultivate Krishna consciousness the best you can in that position. And if an opportunity arises, then you may change, then you may be able to come out of that unpleasant situation. One devotee told me that he met Prabhupada in Hyderabad, some So he told Prabhupada that, you know, I'm doing this business of manufacturing alcohol, but after hearing your lectures, I understand that it's wrong. So what should I do? Should I give up this business? Prabhupada thought about it and he said, well, you have to maintain your family, so continue with it for now. Go and tell me Hare Krishna. So he did that. And eventually he retired and then he just chanted Hare Krishna. So as long as the family duties are there, there's going to be some discrepancy. It's almost unavoidable, especially in the modern age. As Krishna explains in Bhagavad Gita, that in every endeavor in this material world, there's some kind of fault. But Krishna says that because of that, one should not give up his prescribed duties. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives some examples that a brahmana may perform sacrifices in which animals are killed. It's not very good. A kshatriya may be killing people. A vaishya, in the matter of business, he may tell some lies. The Prabhupada clearly says in the purport, in Bhagavad Gita, that because there is some kind of fault in these activities, doesn't mean that they should be given up. Because in every position there's some kind of fault. If we can adjust it, we should try to adjust the situation, if possible. But if not, what can we do? Then we chant Hare Krishna and pray to Krishna for His mercy to deliver us despite our disqualifications.
And pray to Krishna?
To deliver us despite our lack of qualifications. Sometimes one member of the family becomes Krishna conscious, and by their influence, all the other members become Krishna conscious also. Or sometimes all the members of the family become Krishna conscious except the father or the mother, and there's some opposition within the home. Or sometimes only one member of the family becomes Krishna conscious. So those who do become Krishna conscious should try to make the other members Krishna conscious. But if they're not able to, then they have to adjust their lives and live side by side as well as possible. All right, the administrator of this hall is quite strict about us finishing the term. I'll take more questions tomorrow. I'd like to distribute a little prasad.